Welcome back to another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here with the Messenger's Mike Renner for our weekly breakdown of the Bengals. The Bengals are 1-3 coming off of probably what I think is their worst loss in the last 2 years, just when you look at offense to defense, just top to bottom. So I know you had a chance to probably watch the game live because it was in Nashville and you probably don't get many Bengals games regionally on, but then you had a chance to rewatch it. So give me some of your opening thoughts.
Their offensive line just got annihilated. Interior offensive line. I mean, there was just no pockets for Burrow to step up in. It was a manhandling up front. They kind of just, it was what we saw the first 3 weeks. I mean, it was honestly reminiscent of like the Browns game. But it was what we saw the first 3 weeks, and where it's just like, they're not calling deep concepts. They're not trying to attack down the football field. They're trying to get the ball out of Burrow's hands quickly. But then it was that game plan combined with the fact that if he had to hitch for a second, a split second, if his first read was not there, it was just the play was dead. There was a guy in his face. He's getting rid of it. He's getting hit. There was nothing going on. So there was, all the problems we've talked about these first 3 weeks and how we're like, oh, I hope they, do some things to alleviate all this pressure on Joe Burrow and the fact that, they're trying to just play this dink and dunk offense where it's just 5-yard gain, 5-yard gain, 5-yard gain where they have to be perfect. Joe Burrow has to like complete all of these. You can't afford any mistakes. And they didn't switch it up at all, right? It was the same game plan. And then you're going to have mistakes against that defensive line. You're not going to be able to pass protect perfectly. You're going to need to create some explosive plays. And Bengals had like no explosive plays and the Titans had a bunch. And that was, that was the difference in the game. It's just the inability to adjust from that game plan of just putting it all on Burrow to lead them, with 10 straight passes down the football field.
So what do you, there's so much to unpack here, but based off what you just said, why are there no explosive plays for the Bengals? Because here's what, there's so many layers to this, right? After the game, Ja'Marr Chase says, I'm always open, right? Like he thinks he's open. The Bengals have repeatedly said it's not all on Burrow's calf, like to blame all of our offensive struggles. That's a cop out. And every time you bring up, are they considering, like today I asked Zach Taylor if Burrow was going to start against the Cardinals, which is, in my opinion, a really fair, legitimate question because of what they've looked like the last 4 weeks. And he looked at me and said, that's a strange question, almost as if like, I can't believe you would ask that. But so every time they're downplaying the calf is not the reason we're struggling. But then when you watch, it tells a complete different story.
Yeah, I mean, calf may whatever with the calf, but like the stats don't lie. I think his average time to throw is a half second faster than his career average. His average depth of target is 2 yards shorter than his career average. Like he's playing the quarterback position differently than he's ever played it before, dating back to his time at LSU. Like, we're not stupid here watching from the outside. Something is wrong. Something like Burrow is not looking like Joe Burrow. And even though I will say this week, I think he moved more in the pocket and had a few where he was comfortable breaking the pocket more so than he did last week. Like the calf looked better, but it was, they still weren't willing to almost put him in harm's way with the concepts they were calling. They weren't willing to take some deeper drops. No, let him hold on to the ball more, use some like boot action, some heavy run fakes to really buy him some time. And I think you saw that was almost the difference in the game. Like Tennessee had, Ryan Tannehill, once they kind of got the run, like they were using some hard play action. They had some big plays off of that and some pass interference penalties too. Like they had a lot of big gains off their play action game. Cincinnati's play action game, I think PFF said 23 yards on 7 play action dropbacks they had. 23 yards on 7 play action. And it's because they're not, when they do run fake, it's out of the shotgun. It's right in front of them. It's not the kind of fakes that are fooling defenses and buying you time as an offensive lineman. And so they're really just, it feels like they're really kind of trying to play to what Joe Burrow can do right now, but they're trying to do only that and really not mixing it up whatsoever and not getting any sort of easy offense to him or this running game to where, I mean, again, we've unfortunately talked about this for four straight weeks now, but it's like with the way they're even calling these plays, you have to have perfect execution for a bunch of plays in a row to get down the football field because you're not even attempting to create explosive plays through what you're calling. And that's a difficult way to play football. And it's just not what the Bengals were when they were, you know, last 2 years going to AFC championship games.
So you think that the lack of explosive plays is 100% correlated with Burrow's calf and the way that Zach Taylor is calling the offense?
Yeah, and I think it's they're almost their fear of, you know, the calf turns into a bigger issue, and then it goes back to the head coach. It's like, why were you putting them out there under these? Why were you calling this play? The fear of a play that could get them hurt, that they're not even just trying those things. You know, they're not even willing to go that far with the offense.
So is the explosive play – so in order for explosive plays, like what about those play in that play design, is it that it takes too long for the receivers to get into their routes and they're worried about the pressure that he could face? Like specific to the explosive plays, why is a calf strain – getting in the way of them being able to do it?
Well, I don't think they want to do a lot of under center stuff with him. And that's, you know, that's when you're going to get the best play action fakes is the under center rushing game is when you do that, you know, stretch zone action. Like those are going to be the best fakes in terms of fooling the defense, in terms of getting you the most wide receivers open. Again, like Tennessee had probably, I think like three times off of that under center hard play action that they had guys wide open off of it. It's like they're not even willing to do that with Joe Burrow because it takes more. It's more movement. Like it's far more movement than a standard shotgun, three steps backwards. Like it is a little more on him, more taxing over the course of the game. But it's like, man, it can't be that taxing. Like he's still running out to the huddle and whatnot. Like he's still having to break the pocket. He ran for a first down, you know, yesterday. Like they're. You really can't scheme scared, and it seems like they're still scheming a little bit scared of throwing that cap.
So put your coaching hat on. What would you do at this point? Would you stick with him? Would you go with Jake Browning? What would you do?
I would still stick with him. I would just, you know, go down swinging, right? I think they're going down throwing just jabs. They're just jabbing. They're just trying to jab their way down the football field. Like try to throw a haymaker, throw some, you know, the Titans threw like a backwards pass to the quarterback to then a deep, like try to throw the kitchen sink out there right now in terms of generating offense that maybe via trick play or whatnot, because it's like they're beating their head into it. It's the same story. You know, like I keep talking about the same stuff they're doing. It truly is flip on the tape. Like they're not switching it up at all. And it's like, if there's any time to get a little creative and throw some just different stuff out there, it's right now, because they're just boring to watch, unfortunately, with their current incantation of the offense.
So I thought this stat was pretty telling of what's going on. And you've watched Burrow for a lot longer than I have with a critical eye. He's known, what's he known for? His accuracy, right? Like that's the thing with Burrow. This stat was just, my mouth dropped when I read it, because obviously I'm watching the games and I know how bad it is, but Joe Burrow is the first quarterback in NFL history to attempt at least 150 passes in his team's first four games of a season and average fewer than 5 yards per attempt on those passes.
Yeah. And it's that's what it is, right? It's they are having almost successful plays. Like their successful plays are 7-8 yard gains. It is like what they're even going for is kind of the problem right now. And that's it's just hard to win in the NFL when that's the case. And that's like what modern defense is. That's like the whole, you know, everyone's talking about the too high revolution. Like that's what they're trying to make you do, right? That's what the whole, you know, new defensive wave is trying to make you do, is play that game where it's like, you're trying, where it's making you just try to pick up seven, try to pick up these small chunks down all the way down the football field, because they know at one point you're going to have either a drop or you're going to have a holding penalty or a false start or a sack that's going to take you out of that. And all of a sudden it's third and long, and all of a sudden you get off the football field. So that's what everyone's trying to do. And they're just, they're playing into everyone's hand right now. Again, by not even trying to send guys downfield to break some of these coverages. And it's unfortunate because you have the people to do it. I don't know if Jamar Chase is actually always open, but like, where the place he does get open is down the football field. Like, he can do that as well as, you know, pretty much any receiver in the NFL. And they're just, they're not really letting them rip. They're not giving him those opportunities, really, unfortunately. So it's going to look like offense is harder than it is if you're playing that style of football.
Well, it's just hard to figure out what the Bengals play here is, because they played the Cardinals and then the Seahawks, and they have a bye. And then they play the 49ers, the Bills, and the Ravens in a three-game span. Are they just hoping to get to the bye and think 10 days of rest on this calf is going to be enough? I mean, what everything you read is that a calf strain takes almost 6 to 8 weeks to heal. It's hard to figure out what the play is here.
Yeah, it is. Like, truthfully, these next 2 weeks, if you don't go 2-0 in this, like, I think that's it, unfortunately. Like, you really have to bounce back here in a big way. So you're 2-4 going into a bye and having to face the San Francisco 49ers with your backs firmly against the wall. That's just not a place you want to be. So this isn't the game. Like, again, unfortunately, I don't think you're in a position where, like, your backup quarterback is going to be any better. I just don't think Jake Browning. He's not, just from what I saw from him on tape in college, he's not in preseason games. It's not inspiring, like, confidence that that's going to be the guy who turns it around. It's just going to be, it has to be a full sort of, I don't say overhaul this offense, but he just, again, goes back to us. You got to go down swinging. You got to at least try. And if the calf doesn't hold up, but you can't keep playing around it and keep saying, when they're obviously playing around, you know, they're saying the calf isn't the only issue. Well, it's like you're making it an issue with your play calling, unfortunately. So, yeah, we'll see. I don't know the right answer with an injury like that, unfortunately. I do know, like, when the Packers, so I keep going back to that 2014 Aaron Rodgers playoffs when he had the calf, they schemed around it by replicating all the under center run game that they used to do. So the Bengals did a lot of under center run game themselves with, like, or in the past half with outside zone power. Like, those are schemes that they run under center traditionally. Packers would just basically every under center run that they ran, they just switched it to a pistol run. So if he was in the pistol outside zone, you just need to make one step instead of backing out, running, finding the running back. He just hands it off to his left, hands it off to his right out of the pistol. So it just changed that. You run all the same concepts just out of pistol. I thought we might have seen the Bengals do that because they did some of that at the end of last week's game when they were running out the clock. They ran some outside zone out of pistol, but then we really didn't see it much this past week going back to that. But in the Packers, when they did have that also, I think they were leaning a little bit more on the run game than they had prior to, because Aaron Rodgers won the MVP that year, 2014. And in the playoffs, they were kind of, I don't think they were 50-50 run pass, but they definitely were running the ball a lot more than Cincinnati Bengals were. Basically saying, you know, this, get this on track, and then that'll make life easier for Aaron Rodgers, make him have to run less because it just slows down the defensive line for them to have to worry about the running game. And we see none of that with the Bengals. Like, there's no, they've not slowed down a single defensive line they've gone against this past week. Obviously, they didn't slow down the Titans at all. Like, they're doing nothing to kind of keep that pass rush off balance. Guys just teeing off. And, unfortunately, like, we've seen the results and what's happening.
Yeah, after the game, it's not often that you hear players reveal what the game plan was. And Jeffrey Simmons revealed what Mike Vrabel said their keys to the game were. And the first one was, quote, assault the interior of the pocket and affect the quarterback. And I mean, obviously that's not new information, right? But for that to be the number one key that the Titans viewed, copy and paste Arizona Cardinals, copy and paste Seattle Seahawks, like, they're going to have to come up with something, like you said, to try and figure this out. And the pressure is now on Zach and Burrow, because if they're going to dig their feet in and say, we're going to keep putting them out there, then they're expected to have the answers that you're talking about. But I did want to ask you one more thing before we move on to defense. Where does Joe Mixon fit in all of this? And I know I want to put out there, obviously, when the Bengals get down two or three scores, you can't run the ball like you would want. I know that that's an important piece of that. But where do you see Joe Mixon playing a role in maybe what they can do, if you see him having a role at all?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be increased, right? The running game just has to be more of a focal point. And like you saw it being effective the very first drive, because that's what you're speaking to there about the Titans in their interior. Like they were not really respecting their gaps early. They just wanted to get upfield. And you could tell that they just wanted to attack, thinking they, you know, were going to guess pass more often than not with this Bengals offense. And then when they did, they're obviously going to affect the quarterback, but they were leaving some room to run. And I think if that's going to be the game plan against the Bengals, it's just people creating chaos out front. You could take advantage of that schematically in the running game by throwing some more wrinkles at him, by getting some more wide runs, just by, you know, leaning on that and committing to it and basically saying, you know, we can take two straight runs first and second down, which is something that they really haven't done these first few weeks of the season. It's been, you know, Joe Burrow's getting one of those downs, and a healthy Joe Burrow, like, you want him to get one of those downs. But I think the more and more we see this offense with Joe Burrow getting both of those downs, the passing game looks like the running game at this point, with how much they're attacking, with the areas of the field they're attacking, and how like little explosive plays they generate. So you might as well try to lean on Mixon as much as possible to just alleviate that pressure on Burrow. And he doesn't have to move as much then also too. You don't have to worry about the injury if he's not the one holding the ball. So gotta be something, gotta be more of an emphasis on that regard, in my opinion.
There's a lot that you could spend every day this week talking about this, but it's just, and you know, you got this schedule in May and you thought the Bengals Cardinals would be a blowout, but with the way Arizona has been playing teams, I think it's not like the Bengals, if they trot out what they did against the Titans, you know, the Cardinals have been playing better. So I definitely think it's not a guaranteed win for the Bengals by any means. But I just want to get your thoughts on the defensive side of the ball. Actually, we just got a chance to talk to Lou Anarumo, and I thought you might find this interesting. He said there were, I believe, 12 missed tackles, and he said that was a 3-year high. They had more missed tackles in that game against the Titans than they have in 3 years.
It was not a great defensive performance, for sure. Like, that was a team that they should have been better against. And now a lot of that is DBs tackling Derrick Henry. That's going to happen. You know, he has games like that where it's just, he turns in Superman, and that's why he's, you know, probably a future Hall of Fame running back. That's what he's done over the course of his career. Like, sometimes he is just difficult to stop. And they made an emphasis of really trying to get him on these defensive backs for the Bengals, where it's like, you know, Mike Hilton versus Derrick Henry is kind of a mismatch. You know, some of these guys versus Derrick Henry, Scott versus Derrick Henry is kind of a mismatch. So that was unfortunately a big part of it. But then, like, I thought Cam Taylor-Britt had his worst game of his career. And this one, you know, he got his welcome to the NFL, even though he's, you know, not a welcome to the NFL, by DeAndre Hopkins on one of those third downs. I think he busted a coverage on him dropping into a cover two invert, which is always hard for a cornerback to do. But, like, he didn't have a good game. So the guys that you've kind of been relying on didn't have their best days. And when that's going to happen, like, sometimes you just got to tip your cap that the dudes on their team, D-Hop, Derrick Henry, they just had better days than your dudes, sadly.
Yeah. And they also had, Anarumo said they had 5 defensive penalties and 3 of them led to points. So that's a recipe for disaster when your penalties like that are leading to points for the Titans. But I thought the Titans played really well and the Bengals didn't, just like you said. I thought Ryan Tannehill looked really good.
Yeah, he was. So, like, they were getting pressure up the middle. Like, it wasn't as much. Tannehill was not nearly as, like, under pressure as Burrow was. But I don't think the Bengals defensive line played poorly by any means. They were getting to him on, you know, the normal dropback passing concepts that you would expect to. Tannehill's made some plays under pressure that were surprising, that, you know, tip your cap guys on the other side play ball too. So it kind of was just a perfect storm of they had guys, you know, playing some of their best games this season, whether it's Hopkins, whether it's Henry, whether it's Tannehill, and you just had guys on your offense not doing the same. Right. So it was unfortunate, and that's why the margins are razor thin for this Bengals mm-hmm. team right now. And yeah. unfortunately, the more mistakes we see, whether it's drops, whether it's some of the things in pass pro, it's just they're really costly at the moment, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Well, I think you just nailed it, and that's what I want to close with. The overarching theme right now with the Bengals is with Burrow's current condition and the fact that they're going to continue to roll with him with this calf. Basically, the rest of the team has to be perfect. And there's razor thin margin for error, as you just said. And when you've got penalties that like they did, and you're not tackling well and you're not protecting like you need to be, they're playing with fire there. So, but it's just the cards that have been dealt for the Bengals this season. So we will see if they will be able to respond. But I think, as you mentioned, the next 2 weeks are going to tell the story of the Bengals season, because if you can get to 3-3, I just talked to Ted Karras in the locker room and he said, got to get to 3-3 by the bye. If you can get to 3-3, then you give yourself a chance. It's hard. It's going to be hard with that back end schedule. But if you fumble over these next 2 weeks, you can pretty much conclude that it's going to be a tough sell to think the Bengals can crawl out of the hole, right?
Yeah, it's the AFC North's too good, right? Mm-hmm. We saw it over the weekend with the Ravens. Like, that's a good football team. The Browns are a good yeah. football team too, and they put up a bunch of points on them. Like, those are two good football teams in your own division that are playoff teams pretty much any other year if the AFC wasn't as loaded as it is. That is just going to be a dogfight every single week that, you know, you wish – you wish you had your guys at full strength. You wish you had Joe Burrow at full strength to be able to take it on.
Yeah, and I just looked it up. The Bengals at 12.3 points per game, the worst in the NFL, is just not going to get it done against anyone, but especially when the Chargers, Chiefs, Bills, and Dolphins are averaging more than 30 points a game. So even if you're able to get yourself to thinking about postseason, gonna have to score 30 points to play with those guys. So 12.3 is a far way off from 30 points per game.
That's the thing. It's like this off, like with the cap right now, you're never gonna be like those teams, right? You just can't be the way they're trying to play offense. And so that's why I say, like, you gotta try to play like them, you know? Because 3 points, even if it was, you know, even if it was Joe Burrow throwing 3D picks, it wouldn't matter. Like, it's still 3 points. 3 points is 3 points. I'd rather go down with him doing that than go down with him coming off the field three and out as many times as they did, just because the execution quite wasn't quite there.
Well, excellent stuff as always. Thanks for joining me, Mike. I will talk to you next week after a trip out to the West Coast. We will see what the Bengals have in store on Sunday, but they've certainly been an interesting watch this year.
Yeah, interesting is a kind word. But yeah, hopefully that turns around this week.